As the protest continues, a Colombia leader calls for the death of all Zionists in a shocking viral video.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Logan Seculo. Welcome. I did want to start off this broadcast today. I was driving in. You know, we do our radio prep meeting and we talk about what topics we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, more on the Trump cases. What are we going to do? And then I get a clip sent to me, and our producer, executive producer Will Haynes, in the studio with me about, he's like, start about 4 minutes into this, and I'm driving and I'm getting more and more furious and upset as I'm listening to this rant from one of the protest leaders of this, of the encampments, if you will. I know that's the hot word, the encampments that are happening currently on university campuses. This one's the one from Columbia. And it was a rant that happened a few months ago, but of course now with this person being, you know, highlighted even by CNN and some others as sort of the leader and the proud voice of the pro-Palestinian movement, people are looking at, okay, what kind of conversation are they having on social media with people? What kind of videos have they been posting? So this video was a rant somewhere, you know, early this year. And you know, I'm not even sure who this person is initially. I just was told, hey, play this clip and listen to it. It just says, you know, I think Barry Weiss or someone had posted it, said like, this person seems kind. So let's take a listen to just 15 seconds of this. And this goes on for minutes.
Be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way.
Hope to keep it that way, that they're not going to murder. And of course, earlier in the video discusses how, well, you know, it was the global, it was the good thing to do to take out Hitler. So that should be the same for taking out Netanyahu or taking out supporters of Israel. Not just, it goes into very, very specific detail. And what's the most disturbing part of this is not some fringe social media account posting something crazy. This is an active Columbia student, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yes, active Columbia student. So yesterday we talked about how some of the other people that got arrested, especially at Emory University and some of the others, were not members of the community is what we said. This is someone that is a member of that Columbia University community and is one of the leaders in these protests. It's someone who is being highlighted on the media as someone who is just a strong voice. This is someone who is calling for murder of all what they quote unquote Zionists, which we know what that really means. That means all Jewish people who support Israel, or really just anyone who supports Israel. It's not even just Jewish people. That probably means you as well. If you're listening to this broadcast, if you're watching this on YouTube, watching on a Rumble, it's not just limited to Jewish people. Now it's anyone who may support the cause in Israel. Let's take another listen. Let's just, again, small clips. I'm very tempted to play the full thing, but it's like 4.5, 5, 6 minutes. I'm not going to do that today. But you can find it. Let's take a listen. Let's go to bite 11.
Zionists, they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live. Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world.
Shouldn't live in this world. Zionists, you know, relating Zionism to Nazis, relating Zionism to racism. And again, Zionists really essentially just believe there should be an Israeli homeland and it should be in Israel, their historic, you know, community that we've all studied for thousands of years. But that is neither here nor there when you hear people calling, leaders calling on the death of millions of people. And where are we to fight back against it? At the ACLJ, we are doing that actively. You can be involved right now. We're going to discuss more how we can get involved and get more details coming up. I'd love to hear from you. When you hear those rants, let's make sure we open those phone lines, please. Make sure we open them up. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today on this topic. Also, get your comments in. I'm going to take a lot of them. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, interact. Get a comment in, hit the thumbs up, subscribe, do all that. But come on, this is a big day for us also. As we wrap up our Life and Liberty Drive, go to ACLJ.org. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up right now. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on social media, I encourage you still to call in. I'd love to hear your voice on this. I want to give you a little more context of this viral video that's happening right now. Again, this isn't just from some random person on X, a random person on Instagram. This Will is a leader in the Columbia University protest. It has not, you know, it has had some controversy in the past, but clearly not enough to have them change their tune.
Right. And so this leader, Kimani James, student at Columbia University, the context of this video is actually very interesting as well, because we know that these protests on university campuses didn't just start a week ago, that they've been building into this all-out campus insurrection almost that we're seeing around the country really ever since a couple weeks after October 6th. And the video was actually filmed by Kimani James while he was having a Zoom meeting with...
That's who we're talking about here, Kimani James. Yes. Even said by name. That's the person you've heard on the video.
He was filming himself having a conversation with a member of the Columbia administration because he had posted on Instagram, "Zionists in my DMs wanting to meet up and fight. I don't fight to injure or for there to be a winner or loser. I fight to kill. See y'all in New York, January 2024. And so he was under some scrutiny from the administration back in January when he posted this. And actually in the video, the staff member says, "So specifically, that's what we're going to be discussing today. Do you see why that's problematic in any way?" And he responds with no. So then after he films this call with the Columbia University administration, he then turns to the camera and goes on that rant. And he has since this is now circulating widely, has tried to say, you know, that was in the heat of the moment. I shouldn't have said it that way. I believe in the sanctity of all life. I'd be curious to pick apart that political view of his. But he didn't take it down for 3 months and is still one of the people as a leader on campus at Columbia that we know that this is the ideology behind all of these campus protests that are breaking around the country. It's not just that they're concerned about innocent life in Gaza or potential loss of innocent life in Gaza in the middle of a war.
If you built up, you watch the video, the initial buildup, let's say you did not have any context who this person was, you'd assume that's what they're talking about, because they're talking about people who are like Nazis who go in and are murdering thousands and thousands of people. And you start going, okay, well, maybe this is somebody who understood what happened on October 7th. Maybe this is someone who understood that this has been an ongoing battle for thousands of years at this point now, but really over the last 100 years. And you have seen sort of the brutality specifically against people who have difference of point of view or difference of religious beliefs in these areas. But no, of course not. That's not what I'm talking about. They're talking about people who support Israel, people who are Jewish, and people who are supportive of what we quote unquote Zionism, which until recently was not necessarily a dirty word. But now, of course, it is, because it's an easy word to replace. Instead of saying Jewish or saying even evangelical, you're able to now say Zionist, and it sounds like a negative. Let's even hear. Let's go to play Bite 7 from Kimani James.
Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live? I'm confused. Zionists, along with all white supremacists, need to not exist because they actively kill and harm vulnerable people. They stop the world from progressing. Oh, okay. Thank you.
When you have no context of how things work in the Middle East, it is one of the more disturbing things to hear, and this is an alleged leader. This is someone that your mainstream media is quoting and interviewing and talking to. Someone who's saying, we can't progress with Zionism. Have you been to the Middle East? The only place that feels remotely like America, that is diverse for all types of people, religious people, for secular people, for people of all colors and of all genders and of all sexualities, guess what they're allowed to do? Be in Israel. But if you go over that line, if you cross just that line, that is not the case. That is not the case. People are getting thrown off of roofs of buildings and getting murdered. You got Susan Sarandon in the streets yesterday saying, oh, all of that is propaganda. You know that the babies in ovens, that was all just a hoax. You know the people getting the murders and all of the sexual assaults, that was just a hoax. These are what's coming out of the mainstream society right now. And let's even back it up a little bit more with James. So you can hear the sort of what I told you, what I thought was leading into, I am someone who is supportive of what are traditional liberal ideas, not pro-Palestinian, not even pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist ideas. And that is what we're seeing on these college campuses, bite six, I'm sorry.
A lot of people agree that Hitler needed to die in order for world order to move forward and in order to establish some inkling of world peace. And so if we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, if there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die?
Yeah. There you go. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to George, who's calling in Maryland on line one. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. This is obviously Friday, this last day of the week, so this would be a great time to have your voice heard. And you can support the work of the ACLJ, as always. Go to aclj.org. Very important time to do that. George calling from Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking the call. The gentleman that is making all of these speeches is really one of the biggest hypocrites that I've ever heard. He says in not only Zionists, but all racists should be killed. Well, he's a racist. So maybe he should take care of himself.
Well, I wouldn't encourage that, but I understand what you mean. Look, I honestly thought when I heard that first rant, I thought what we were getting to, well, when we were talking about Hitler, I thought we were going to get to, and that's why we need to do something to Donald Trump. That's what I was expecting.
Right.
Instead, it was actually much more egregious, which is not one person. This is calling for the murder of everyone who you can consider to be a supporter of Israel, anyone who would be a supporter of really the Jewish people having a right to exist.
Well, and I also have a problem not with necessarily some of the words on its face where he's talking about the, you know, we decided that Hitler should not live and white supremacists should not live, these things that he's saying, because when the original context of the Nazi party as white supremacists saying that it is a supreme race and you had to eliminate anything that was not pure.
That's in the chapter. That's in the bylaws.
Right.
Yeah.
But now how the left has equated white supremacy with conservatism.
Yeah.
If you're a conservative, the blanket statement is that you're also de facto a white supremacist. That's really a bigger part and problem with the statements and the ideology that's espoused here is that they're saying death to that. And when they keep moving the goalpost of what a racist or white supremacist is, we condemn white supremacism and racism.
Yeah.
But the left wants to make those catch-all terms. How quickly they refer to any conservative as racist.
Middle Eastern.
If you don't want the border protected, you're racist. And under his definition, a racist should not live. So that you see how easily they can manipulate their words and utilize this as a tool to go after anyone who is conservative.
Look, and we're not going to spend all this show talking about this one person's viral video. I want you to know that. But I do think it's important to see because that one person is not just a person. This is someone who is a leader in the movement and also shows you what is being instructed. Again, this is a student at Columbia. This is what is being taught. This is what they're learning. This is how, honestly, the Israeli PR department always is a mess. I support Israel and I have vocally actively, but I have said it for decades. They are very bad at the PR game. And this is what happens when you let essentially Hamas, a terrorist organization, control the narrative. But we're going to keep fighting back and supporting Israel, and we're going to figure out ways for us to get our voice out there, even if sometimes it's not as cut and dry from sort of the Israeli PR. Now, it also doesn't help that you have a lot of people, honestly, on the right and the left who love this topic and want to see it become more and more divisive. We've seen, you know, conservative media fall apart about it. We've seen, obviously, news media fall apart. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by Mike Pompeo. He's going to join us. We're going to talk a bit more about this, the attacks on Israel. And, of course, He actually has a new article up at aclj.org, and I'm going to encourage you right now to go do a quick read on it before we get to this next segment. It is about the EPA and how they are a bit beyond the point of needing reform. So we're going to discuss that coming up with him. So give me a little bit of a breather from what's going on these college campuses. It's a rough time out there. But you know what? I think we need to be strong, loud voices. And where a lot of people are saying we need to back out of these campuses, we need to stop doing it. I actually think, no, we need louder, stronger voices in academia, in entertainment, in news, in media, and, of course, in the law. And you couldn't ask for a better place to do that than the ACLJ, because that is what we do. We hit all of those facets. So go to aclj.org. Today is really one of the last days of our Life and Liberty Drive. We'll hit it a little bit early next week, but Friday today is the end of the week. We know a lot of you will be having big plans this weekend. Go to aclj.org. Make your donation. All donations are doubled right now. Do it. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 coming up a little bit later. We are now joined by Mike Pompeo, obviously frequent guest on this broadcast, member of the ACLJ team. We're talking currently, though, hey, I did see breaking news. President Biden's just said on the Howard Stern show that he's happy to debate Trump. So you know what? Maybe there'll be some updates on that. But the first thing I wanted to get to, we were just talking about sort of the chaos, obviously, that's broken out on these college campuses. It seems like a growing problem. You know, obviously, subbing Zionist for as just straight up anti-Semitism that's happening right now. Is this a leadership problem, do you think, from the campuses? Or do you think this is a much even stronger issue of what's happening globally?
So I think this is deep and widespread. And what you're seeing on these campuses is sadly just the tip of the iceberg. I think there is deeply rooted anti-Semitism in some of the most major institutions around the world. I'll give you the perfect example. The United Nations itself votes dozens and dozens of sanctions each year against the nation of Israel, and just a handful of sanctions against some of the most horrible human rights violators anywhere on the planet. And so what's happening on these campuses, I think, is a symptom of this decay. And the decay is in two dimensions. One is the anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish sentiment that is there. But second, the fundamental misunderstanding about the importance of basic rule of law. We all want people to be able to speak their minds, especially on our campuses, but everywhere with a time, place, and manner is appropriate. But most importantly, if you can't enforce these basic set of rules, if you can't tell these kids, you're a student here, we've got a set of rules, you fail to comply with them, you're gone. Yeah. We've got a set of rules on this campus. You violate them, no more money from the federal government. These are examples of things one could easily, readily do. They're common sense. 90% of all Americans would agree with them. And we would, as a nation, be in a better place. And we wouldn't see this both violence and anti-Semitism on our campus in the deep way that we're seeing it today.
Yeah, we're seeing it pretty dramatically. And even, we're here in Nashville, there was a Vanderbilt campus. There was a small group that had set up tents, and all of that's happening. But you do have, well, at least in a positive news, you told me earlier, Florida, University of Florida, they took care of it.
Right. We University had Emory of taking Florida care put of it. Out some great guidelines about allowable activities, such as speech, expressing viewpoints, and holding signs in hands. But they had a lot of prohibited activities of which people could get in trouble for, such as camping, blocking egress. They couldn't build structures, things like that.
Yeah.
So we are seeing some campuses, typically in the South, that are doing things a little bit better, more organized than you're seeing in the northern campuses.
But you have, Secretary Pompeo, leaders of, especially in the Democrats, you have someone like AOC or Ilhan Omar, who making statements very much in support of these students. And again, we are all for a student's right or anyone's right to protest, to do this. But we're playing videos earlier when you have the leaders of some of these Columbia protests calling legitimately for the death to all Zionists. At some point, you do wonder where this has a place in America.
Well, goodness, death to all Zionists. That includes you and me.
That's what I said. Yeah. So, not just Jewish people at this point. We're talking about most evangelical Christians and a big group.
Yes, exactly. It's not just the Ilhan Omars and AOCs of the world either. It's faculty on these campuses. It's State Department officials who say, no, we can't tolerate what President Biden is doing. You and I would argue President Biden should do more for the nation of Israel than he has in this conflict in Gaza, right? How this all was spun up. And yet it's not remotely enough for them. It's a pretty dangerous place we find ourselves in. And your point about the University of Florida or colleges in Texas, this reminds me of times of COVID, where conservative states did the right thing, the simple thing. They told people, get out, live your life. We're going to do this safely. Conservative states got this right. Democrat governors botched it and created calamities for their own states. Here's the same thing. The governor of New York refusing to do the right thing by the students who chose to go to college at Columbia or in New York. The governors in California saying, no, we're just going to close down a college campus. We're not even going to have our main graduation ceremony because of a few unruly protesters. This is the heckler's veto that we have seen too often in American life. And the rule of law is required to restore the capacity for the vast majority of young people on campuses and every American citizen to be able to go where they want to go, to live their lives and do so when they don't feel threatened, and allow these handful of radical pro-Hamas demonstrators, frankly, in many cases, anti-American demonstrators who think that we are, in fact, evil here, to allow that handful of people to dictate how our society is going to operate.
Mr. Secretary, you have an article up at ACLJ.org. Biden has weaponized the EPA. It should be dissolved. The EPA, I feel like in recent years, hasn't been something we've focused on as much as maybe we have in the past or under the previous administration. But in this article, you make a connection between the weaponization of the EPA by Biden and China and some of the initiatives that the EPA is pushing forward. Could you explain where this China-EPA nexus kind of exists?
Sure. So there are multiple fronts that the Chinese Communist Party has engaged in. One is to propagandize inside the United States and then, frankly, turn the American regulatory state on U.S. businesses so they can outcompete us. The environmental space would be one. The reason I ran for Congress the first time was because under President Obama, the EPA was out of control, hurting Kansas farmers, hurting Kansas businesses, and we're right back at it again. So think about the environmental protections that the EPA has put forward, chemical rules, air particulate rules, all of these things. Do you think there's a chance that the Chinese Communist Party is going to match those inside their own country? No, the answer is, of course, not. And that means products made here, jobs created here, will be harder to compete in the global space. And they will, in China, go use fossil fuels willy-nilly. They'll have some of the dirtiest cities in the world. They'll comply with none of the environmental stuff that the radical left wants us to comply with here at home, and they will then outcompete us, take our jobs, and dump that product back here at home. And the Chinese Communist Party has figured out how to use their tools of persuasion and influence in ways that drive the American regulatory state to their competitive national advantage and their national security advantage to the detriment of the United States of America.
Thank you, Secretary Pompeo. That article is available right now, by the way. If you go to ACLJ.org, just scroll down just a little, you'll see the news tab. It is the second one right now. It says Pompeo in real big letters so people know it's yours. And it says, of course, Biden has weaponized the EPA. And you can click that and read it. It's great. Some of the incredible content we provide here, thanks to people like Secretary Pompeo, our incredible team that put together just great, whether it's written word, whether that's video content, audio content, we are there for you. And we are in this last few days of our Life and Liberty Drive. And I want you to take a minute and go to the website, go to ACLJ.org and support our work. Our intense legal battles continue. Obviously, we have an unprecedented attack on the Jewish people, now Israel. And now we're just saying anyone who potentially supports Israel existing at all, or the Jewish people having a safe land of their own. And of course, we've seen that as the college campuses have been overrun. And we are doing so much to fight back right now. I'm going to break that down a little bit later in the next half hour, some of the incredible work the ACLJ is doing specifically, so you know about it. But again, go to ACLJ.org, read that new article by Secretary Pompeo, and also, while you can, make a donation. I really would appreciate that. All donations are matched right now. So again, it continues this great work, whether that's in the media or whether that is in Washington, D.C. or around the world. Do that right now. Hey, the next segment, I'm going to take some calls and would love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. I'll also be joined by Rick Grinnell coming up later on in the broadcast. But most importantly, I want to hear from you. So go do that. And while you're there, go to ACLJ.org. Make your donation. And also, say a prayer for us. We appreciate that. Look, we only have about a minute in this break. It's a very short break. It's a reset here at the half hour. So take that minute, put in the comments that you're praying for us, and say a quick prayer for the ACLJ and for our team and our family. I'd appreciate it. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo. Welcome back. Sorry, Will and I were just discussing some breaking news that was coming out of one of our cases. We'll try to get to that once we get all the facts straight. But very cool, very good stuff happening in the world right now. So it may seem like all is lost, and often it does feel that way. But we know, thanks to your prayers and your support, there are some good. There's some good news coming out of the world. So we appreciate that. I want to kick things off with a phone call. Let's go to RJ, who's calling in California. You're on the air.
How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't like what the, I think it was a woman, not a man, that was speaking. Yeah. Is that correct?
No, it was a man. Go ahead.
Oh, it's a man. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I don't agree with what he says as far as the radical speech of that people are not, should not live. Obviously, it's that kind of radical speech that causes you to lose credibility.
Right.
And not make the point that you need to make. That's ridiculous, what you're saying.
We have right now at George Washington University, Fox just put it up, the demonstrators are holding Final Solution signs. So they, again, to kind of push towards your, maybe we can get that picture of that, see if we can get that. To point to your narrative, now they're taking the words of the Nazis
right.
While saying that you're the Nazi. However, we're going to now impress with you legitimate Nazi language. It's ridiculous. And RJ, you're right. We are for, by the way, the peaceful protest of points of view we disagree with. This is America. You're supposed to be able to do that. We are fully engaged in that and supportive of that. However, when you start calling for death to people, when you start calling for violence,
or you start calling for a Holocaust,
yeah,
as that protester is doing,
there is a line. Especially there's a line on our college campuses. And then when you find out a lot of these people aren't even students, that these are essentially, you know, for lack of a better term, professional protesters, activists who are out there making a scene. Now, look, that video we heard, you saw the clips from, that guy, that is a Columbia student and a leader who, again, up until pretty recently was being highlighted and featured as, you know, a hero. So it isn't just some offshoot thing that's happening. It's happening across the country at all of, or a lot of our college campuses. Now, thankfully, there are a lot of great college campuses that are not going to stand up for this. And we're very thrilled that that exists. But hey, before we head to the break, because Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us, let's take a quick call. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina on line four.
Hey, Logan. Thanks for all you do, man. You and your dad are great.
Thanks.
I'm a veteran. I'm from New York. I was persecuted out of New York into Myrtle Beach. I was on the front line for a big-time persecution of Jews from the New York State Senate and the Assembly and the governor trying to force them into vaccination, things that are very much against their religion. Yep. And I was part of that because I'm a Gentile, but I follow the Old and New Testament. I can just tell you this. Mr. Pompeo is 100% correct. This is a very deep-rooted problem. And I got to tell you, being someone that met with senators and assembly people right alongside RFK and Del Bigtree and everybody else, these people are enjoying persecuting Jews. It's not just these paid protesters and the Soroses and everybody else. These people are anti-God, and the children of God are being persecuted. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, Mike, you're absolutely right. Thanks for watching on Rumble, by the way. A lot of people do, and I appreciate all the Rumblers who watch. I really do get your comments in, say hey, if you're watching on Rumble. But Mike's right. I spent a lot of time in Central Florida and some of those areas, and there were, during those times, an influx of Orthodox Jewish people that had to get out of New York. And now we are seeing that again happening. I was just there last weekend, and trust me, it's very, very clear. And thankfully, they can walk around places like Central Florida or the state of Florida and not feel threatened and not feel like they could lose their lives on the streets simply because they're wearing religious garb. And you would hope that for all religions, for Christians, for Jews, for Muslims, for Buddhists, or any faith or lack of faith, that this is not the country we live in. When Will played me that clip this morning, sent it to me, it's just gut-wrenching to hear that this is what's happening in our country and in New York City. You know, sort of the bastion of liberal ideas. This is being not only allowed, but celebrated. We get back, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. We're going to discuss this at length. And then obviously we're going to talk more about some of the work of the ACLJ. We do have some breaking news that we'll get to here at the end of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110 to call and support the work of the ACLJ. right now. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with Rick Grinnell. Secula, we are joined by Rick Grinnell. We are going to give you an ACLJ update here in the next segment. Again, we had some sort of breaking news that happened internally. We want to make sure it's confirmed before we share that with you. If you've been following the Shahzad case in Pakistan, we're going to have an update on that. I don't want to say exciting, but it is a pretty positive update. So we're going to confirm it all before we bring it up on the air formally. So before that, though, Rick, we wanted to turn to you. Obviously, we're seeing these protests still break out. We're seeing the verbiage actually getting higher and higher. Earlier in the broadcast, we played clips of one of the leaders of the protests in Colombia calling essentially for the death to all of us, anyone that supports Israel, even from the most generic sense, because that's what Zionism is at this point. And then you have at GW University, you have George Washington University having signs with people walking around with "Final Solution." This doesn't feel like... what should be coming out of what are traditionally known as maybe the more liberal cities in the country, whether that is in New York City or in Washington, D.C., and they tried to demonize the South. But, of course, the South is where they're actually taking some action, kicking some of these protesters off campus.
Look, we have a long history in America of wanting people to have dissenting voices. Sure. And debate and calm debate. And, you know, my dad taught me to sit and listen to someone else's viewpoint, because you might actually learn. But there's a difference right now. What's happening on our college campuses is total intimidation, violence, attacks on Jews, and you can't have that. We cannot have a system where one side gets to shut down the streets, highways, airports. That is belligerent, and that's not protected. And so what I would say is, we need leaders who are going to get very aggressive about making sure that both sides absolutely are protected and that the speech is protected. But at the same time, right now, we are out of control. What's happening, the intimidation and violence against Jews, is unacceptable in America. People need to be very clear about it, and people need to be speaking out.
Rick, the rhetoric and how extreme it is, it's not coming out of a vacuum. Where do you think these students are learning this hateful rhetoric?
Will, it's such a good point. We could do a whole show. Yeah. I'm troubled when I see some of these individuals, on camera espousing their views. I'm very troubled as to where their parents are, how were they taught, what schools did they go to. We've got to dig deep on what we're teaching our children, because I think it's a crisis. When you look at the public schools, the failure to teach basic common sense, basic information, world history, current affairs, it's a real crisis. And I think that the blame is on the home, on parents who are working and not paying attention to what their local school is teaching. And for 20 years, we've taught our kids to hate America. Can't be surprised that now they're taken to the streets trying to crush America and America's allies. We've got to take responsibility in our own communities. People listening to us right now, some need to step up and run for school board and change your local, the situation locally.
Absolutely, absolutely, Rick. I think that's what's one of the more important things to make sure that we get out there. Is that's why this show exists without a paywall. Make sure that people actually can see it. We're not creating just echo chambers, because if you do that, this is what happens actually on the streets, because we won't be in places where our side of the thought is even considered. There is the want to push away from the university system and say, we just need to abandon it and give up. But then there's part of me that goes, no, we need to make sure and do our best. Now, it's up to the universities also to step up and say, we want diversity of thought, which will be shocking to say the least for a lot of these colleges, but maybe there are moments like this where you could even have a state university like Florida, where you don't think of even the big state universities in the South and throughout are typically either maybe more apolitical or more liberal leaning, just because it's the university system, it's academia. However, if you have these moments happen where they see the overtaking of the campuses by people who a lot of them aren't even students, maybe this is a moment that can be seized upon and you can actually make a difference. Now, like you said, whether it's in your local community, running for school board, whether that is getting involved in your local schools or your universities, and actually having a bit of presence in society and not just shutting yourself off.
Look, I went to a Christian liberal arts school for undergrad, and I went to Harvard for grad school. And I have to say that I had a better education at the Christian liberal arts school. I think parents need to understand what's happening at the Ivies, what's happening at some of these elite schools. They're training your kids to really hate America. And you've got to get more involved, because we're going to lose our country if we don't have a system where you actually get to debate rationally and come to some sort of an agreement through calm debate, listening. That's all gone on our college campuses, and I can't believe it. The Ivy League universities should be at the forefront of presenting all ideas and challenging kids to think differently and to think about all sides of an issue.
Rick, there's a lot of chatter coming out of some of the sources in Israel about the International Criminal Court and the chief prosecutor there who has repeatedly targeted Israel. That seems to be his big get, that he wants to find a way to charge Israelis with war crimes at some point. But there's a report that the Israeli arrest warrants that may be being pondered right now within the ICC would come with U.S. consent. Would that be one of the most groundbreaking betrayals of the Biden administration if they somehow greenlit arrest warrants from the International Criminal Court?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, remember, we've got this thing called Article 99s within the ICC, where we are able to have agreements with countries that we would not turn over and accept the ICC overview. And I think that that's been the U.S. government standard, is to figure out a way to protect our soldiers, to protect Americans overseas, and not participate in the ICC. If now the American government is flipping and not only not withdrawing, but participating in some of these sham investigations, I would say that that's troublesome. We need American leadership to protect us and our allies from international courts like the ICC that overreach.
Absolutely, Rick. There is so much else happening in this world. We've covered a lot today, Will. I feel like we've covered a lot, whether it's these protests, obviously, of what's going on. And with the international response, it feels like we're slowly getting to a point where I don't even know where the tide can turn back. And that's maybe my concern. Will sent me that video this morning, and I know I've harped on it, and people, some of the comments, you may be like, Logan, you're talking about one guy on a college campus who went on a rant. Again, this is someone who CNN and some of these other places are quoting as a leader. But I'm used to that rhetoric when it comes to singling out even a presidential candidate. When Will sent me that clip, I thought, okay, this guy's going on a rant about Hitler, and then it's going to end with, and that's Donald Trump. And I thought that's where we were going. And I was like, well, that's going to make me mad. But, you know, it's not that. At this point, I'm immune to that, maybe. I'm immune to that kind of name calling, and I think it's ridiculous, but that is where we are. But no, it gets to, I don't think that America should tolerate, including, he's like, I don't have killed anybody, but, you know, you may push me to, which is what we're seeing, anyone who considers themselves a Zionist, which again, pretty much now encompasses all or most Israelis, obviously you'd assume, a lot of Americans, and pretty much most of the evangelical movement, and most conservatives at this point, but I'd say, you know, maybe split a little bit there, but you're now calling for the eradication of people in mass. And the idea that, you know, we were supposed to take a death to America chant or a death to Israel chant. But, well, that's not really what they mean. No, it's clearly, Rick, what they mean.
Yeah. Well, Will sent me that video this morning, and my only reaction was, where are his parents? They clearly have raised a kid who wants to kill people he disagrees with. And he was literally justifying it, why they would push him to allow him to lose his wherewithal and to kill Zionists, and that it was justified. It was sick. It was a signal that our schools are failing our kids. And I would just say to people who are listening, you got to get involved because you don't know what the schools are teaching our children. We are seeing evidence that these kids are intolerant, hateful, and looking for murder. It's very concerning.
And we're going to fight back against as much as we can, like you said, in a loving, peaceful way, which I think what we have to do. It always is the other side at this point. You know, I think a lot of us have probably gone through the experience of losing friends over politics, and you go, man, I would never do this to you. But of course, when it's when the roles are reversed, it quickly can happen to you because it's justified and moral to be someone calling for essentially the death and destruction of millions of people. So, Rick, thank you so much for joining us. The next segment, I want to take as many of your calls as we can. As you heard, I'm a little fired up on this, but I would like to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed right now. So if you are on hold, I will get to you. And we'll take as many calls even beyond that as well. Support the work of the ACLJ. This is a very important time. I don't want to harp on it too much, but this is one of our biggest moments. ACLJ.org. Donations are matched. Life and Liberty Drive ends in a couple days. We need you. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to Seculo. This is our last segment of the day, but I didn't want to leave you without some hope and without some cool news that's happening right now. And of course, we teased it a little bit because we were still getting confirmation. We just got confirmation that we can share this. If you've been following the Shahzad case, this is a kid who was 16 who was sentenced to death due to blasphemy in Pakistan, which is obviously a very specific law. And this was a pretty minor offense when you actually look at the details. If you want to go back and get the full details, if you haven't heard about it, you can go back to the show we did with CeCe Howe, what, a couple days ago?
Just two days ago.
So go back and watch that broadcast from 2 days ago. That would have been on April, 24th? Go listen to that broadcast. You can find the segment with her where we discuss exactly what's been going on. And there was hope in that moment during that conversation. This is why the work of the ACLJ is so important. There was hope that an appeal would occur. And there was the judge had said, yeah, let's maybe schedule a trial. Let's do something. Will, there's a big, big news update for this.
That's right. After we got that positive ruling from the UN Working Group on arbitrary detention, we got news from a judge in the high court in Pakistan that he instructed the clerk to schedule an appeal hearing. That's something we had been working years to get. We had been trying to get them to just schedule the hearing for years. On Wednesday with CeCe, she said, we are very hopeful now. He has instructed the clerk that we could get this in weeks or months. So still, we got some time. We got to work for it. We have just been notified that that scheduled hearing is May 2nd, next Thursday. So our attorneys in Pakistan, our office in Pakistan, has got a short window to really get prepared and to fight for this because we are looking at a May 2nd hearing date. It's on the schedule that we can hopefully get one step closer to justice for Shahzad in Pakistan.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find all those updates on ACLJ.org, but we really have some hope in this, and we couldn't do this without you. We are in that middle, or not the middle, we're at the very end of this Life and Liberty Drive, so you need to support the work of the ACLJ by going to ACLJ.org. You know, every year we track each and every day how things are going. You know, can we set the bar for next month? What does it look like? Today is one of those big days we really could use your support. So go to ACLJ.org. Do that today. Become an ACLJ champion if you can. That's someone that says, okay, I'm going to give a one-time donation, but I'm going to agree to give that donation each and every month. You can do that again by going to ACLJ.org. Going to continue on with some of these phone calls. A lot of people have been hold for a long time. Look, we had 6 minutes on air and I'm six calls to try to get through. So I'm going to try my best. Whitey's calling in Nevada on line 5. You're on the air.
Shalom.
Shalom, go ahead.
Does that God refer when say the death to the Zionists, to the Jews, does it refer to Chuck Schumer, Michael Bloomberg, Josh Soros, and Steven Spielberg too?
I'm not sure I fully got your comment, but I think you're saying what people are not calling out for.
If you're a Zionist, and is he calling for all Zionists,
yes,
including Chuck Schumer, Steven Spielberg, or Michael Bloomberg, anyone who has an inkling of support for Israel?
I think the answer to that is yes. I think that is 100%. Yes, our friends in Five for Fighting or Patricia Heaton, they would be all on that list, as well as all of us would be on that list. Thank you for calling. Continuing on again, we'll try to get as many of these as we can. Let's go to Daniel in Oregon on line 6. You're on the air.
Hey, so why won't they use Title IX against any of the institutions that are publicly funded,
So Daniel, public or private? That's actually a very good question. And I'm only jumping in because we are running short on time when you get as many calls. But we had Senator Lankford on the broadcast just the other day where he and a group of other senators had sent a letter to both the Attorney General and the Secretary of Education demanding answers on why they're not using Title IX to ensure that these universities that do receive federal funding are not following the law, when you are seeing the egregious statements and the intimidation and having to shut down classes and the intimidation of Jewish students. Why Title IX isn't being followed here? Why don't you have an investigation open to make sure that the federal funds aren't going to a place that's fostering a community where people are unsafe?
All right, continuing on, let's go to Wendy, who's calling in California, listening on the radio online too. Wendy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to point out the serious double standard Absolutely. That's going on in these colleges, where they're saying they want there. It's like a death threat. It's hate speech.
Sure feels that way.
But if it's for your agenda, it's okay. But if it's against, say, a transgender person or a person of this protected group, it's considered hate speech and you would be arrested. So I don't understand why it's okay for these people to say what they're saying on these college campuses, but this other thing is going to be persecuted. I don't understand.
Hey, yeah. How about we get to a point in America where we treat people with kindness and respect and disagree with them publicly and you know, have a relationship with somebody and not call for their death or hanging on either side of this? How about that? Why can't we get there? But instead, we're having to decide on a political line what is considered hate speech and what is not, when it's very clear if someone is calling for the death of anyone, that shouldn't only be considered hate speech. That should be considered a direct threat. Continuing on, let's go to Warren, who's calling in Idaho on line 4. Warren, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Listening to Wendy, she took my comment, but also listening to Rick, it brings up the issue of where his parents were. We got to remember that we have a devil that hates people in general, but especially Christians in Israel, and we have to stand for righteousness and say it's not right. You can't do this.
Absolutely, Warren. Thank you so much. That's why I've asked people during our breaks to not only consider supporting the ACLJ, but also just to say a prayer for us, say a prayer for everyone involved here, because, yeah, the devil's hard at work and very easy to manipulate a lot of people and millions of people, and really we need to be able to fight back spiritually and fight back in the courtroom, in media, however we can. But yes, Warren, I agree 100%. Let's keep going. Let's go to Melissa, who's calling South Carolina, Rumble viewer. Melissa, you're on the air.
Hey, Logan. I just wanted to say that with all the chaos that's going on in different places, we have broken families. The whole United States has different things going on, and I've believe that we're seeing the outflow of a spiritual problem when we have left God. We've taken him out of the public square. And the only thing that's going to help solve this problem is that our nation get back on right with God spiritually.
Yeah, Melissa, again, you've heard what I just said. And I 100% agree with you. This is a much of a spiritual battle. And I believe you're one of our frequent Rumble viewers. And I know that I appreciate that personally. And I've appreciated your prayers and your support over the years. So know that I'm reading the comments. I'm looking at what you all have to say. And I can feel it when you're praying for us and when you're really getting involved in what the work we're doing here. So know that it is not lost on me.
Didn't even get to the story, but we are protecting a teacher right now who wasn't allowed to just pray for her students. She got in trouble with the school for praying, and if she was seen praying. So we'll hopefully talk about
that next week.
It's a fight.
Yeah, big work. All right, quickly. Hey, Bob, you got to keep it really quick. I'm sorry we're running out of time. Bob in Michigan, go ahead.
Yeah, the guy with the viral rants seems to be incapable of articulating any cause except radicalization, and he wants to exploit the media. The media wants to exploit him for headlines. It's like creating a train wreck and expecting us to believe that they're serious about some issue that they're not even explaining at all.
Oh, yeah, they know not what they do, if you will. Thank you, Bob, for calling. We appreciate it. I encourage all of you to go to ACLJ.org to support our work right now. We are in this final days of the Life and Liberty Drive. Man, what a show. I mean, this got me fired up. And you know, now we got to go deal with the rest of our work throughout the day. We can't do that without you, our ACLJ supporters, our ACLJ champions. You've heard about from amazing experts in the law, experts in the world of global politics and media all throughout this week. whether that's our friends at Five for Fighting, whether that is obviously people like Secretary Pompeo, Rick Grenell, who joined us today, and our legal experts, Cece Heil and Harry Hutchinson, my brother, and Will, of course, executive producer here, experts in media here, and our entire team. I want to thank all of them for a heck of a week. We'll be back on Monday, but of course, new content posted each and every day, ACLJ.org and all our social platforms. Talk to you then.